Welcome to Answering the Call with host Elizabeth Ficicello. In this program, Elizabeth gives us a glimpse into the spiritual journeys of priests, deacons, and religious sisters and brothers from the Columbus Diocese who have heard and answered God's call. And here's your host, Elizabeth Ficicello.
Hello, and thanks for joining us on Answering the Call here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, and streaming live on stgabrielradio.com. I'm your host, Elizabeth Ficicelli, and this is a program where we get to meet some of the ordained clergy and the religious in our diocese and find out how God inspired them to their current vocations and learn a little bit about that path as they have pursued that call. And my guest today is Father Anthony DeNovo, and he is pastor at St. Michael's Parish in Worthington. And he's here to share his journey into the priesthood, a journey that's included a few twists and turns like so many of our journeys do. So welcome to Answering the Call here on St. Gabriel AM 820, Father DeNovo.
Thank you, Elizabeth. It's good to be here.
It's good to have you here. Thanks. And what I'd like to do first, Father, is take us back, if you will, to the Catholic family you grew up in Delaware, Ohio, really where your story begins.
Yes, born and raised in Delaware, Ohio, wonderful little town. That was back before it was considered to be a suburb of Columbus. But I'm number six of nine children, and went to Catholic grade school there at Delaware St. Mary's Parish, and then other than the faith was very much a part of our everyday life. I mean, it was just always there.
Did you have a devotion besides going to Mass? Were there any special devotions at home that you'd practice with your family?
Well, of course, my mother especially, we prayed the rosary with her a lot. And then the Sacred Heart and the Immaculate Hearts were both very much part of our life. St. Anne was a saint that was a patron of my mom and dad. They had a special devotion to her, of course. Then St. Joseph, typical Italian things. We would spend time in prayer and doing things like that. I know that it's Good Friday. I remember growing up was always a day that we would gather in our family room, and we have 3 hours of quiet time, we called it. We'd pray together, but then 3 hours of where we were just quiet. And I remember I had mentioned that to some parishioners a while back, and they said, my mother was a genius. 3 whole hours of quiet, you know. So, the Catholic faith was very much a part of our lives.
Now, as you said, you attended St. Mary's Parish and parochial school through the eighth grade.
Yes.
How did that school build upon the faith that you were raised in at home?
Well, I think that as we were at school, it reinforced the faith that was being taught to us at home. And I think that's the way that their approach was, is that, again, my parents were the primary educators. They taught us all the basics and all the good stuff. But then the school, the sisters of Franciscan Sisters of Manitowoc, Wisconsin, were the sisters that were there. And then also the lay teachers that we had. They had that understanding that they were there to support the families. And then also, you know, being an altar server at the time, was very active in that. And just being involved in various parish activities. My dad was especially active in the Knights of Columbus, and so we were always involved in those activities. It just helped the school and everything just helped to reinforce our faith and what we were being taught at home.
Was it common for priests to come over to your home?
Yes, we used to have priests would come over quite often. They would come in have dinner with us on special occasions. They were always welcome. We go all the way back to my youngest memory was Monsignor O'Brien, who was a longtime pastor there, and he would come over. That was the earliest memory I had, that he would come over to our house for even for Thanksgiving or for anything like that, that they were in town.
So it was such a Catholic surrounding environment for both at home and in school. Did this vocation of priesthood begin early in your life, back in those early years?
Well, I always tell people that it probably did, but I didn't really hear it until later in life. As I shared with you before, I guess you would call it a late vocation, but never too late, I suppose. I entered the seminary at the age of 33, and then, as I look back, I do think that there were the seeds, and there were little messages that I think that God was trying to send me. But
no one was coming out and asking you point blank, did you ever consider being a priest?
I don't remember that. I don't remember at all. I know they talked about vocations in the school, but I don't know that anybody ever really specifically said to me, you know, you ought to consider the priesthood individually. I just don't remember. They could have, but I just don't remember.
Or even parents of 9 kids might drop a few hints.
Yes, I know that my parents would oftentimes, especially my mom, would leave things around like brochures and stuff for us to look at. But I don't remember ever even, you know, God bless them, but I don't remember them saying, you know, we think you are called to the priesthood or anything like that. It was a kind of like we talked about it, but there was no pressure.
Right.
Kind of thing, so.
What can you remember in those elementary years, those very young years, what you might wanted to grow up to be back in those days?
My younger years, I wanted to be just about anything. I wanted to be an astronaut, and I wanted to be a policeman and a fireman, and lots of different, you know, typical things that kids think about when they're anything that involved action, you know.
Now, you would attend a public high school, so why was that, and what kind of change did that mean for you?
I went to Hayes High School in Delaware. The reason was, there was no Catholic high school at that time in Delaware itself, and then transportation to Columbus and even to Marion was not quite what it is today, where you had the opportunities to be able to take buses and things to go. It was the public high school was really the option for us, and it was a big change. When I graduated from St. Mary's, we had 21 students in our 8th grade class, and then my freshman class was like 235.
So that's a big change.
It was a big change, and it was a hard adjustment, especially when the atmosphere wasn't quite as disciplined as it was in the St. Mary's. The high school wasn't, but
did you ever have to defend your faith, or were you put in any kind of category like, oh, you're that Catholic kid, or were you pretty much accepted? And
I think that for the most part, we were accepted. I wouldn't say there were some issues. I do remember a few people that were would pick on you a little bit about because you were Catholic. I mean, and that kind of thing. But overall, I don't know that I really experienced a lot. There was a lot of secularism at that time going on, but a lot of my friends that I hung around with were, even though they weren't Catholic, they were still people that belonged to other faith denominations. I had many I think maybe that was one of the positive experiences I had, that I was able to make friends with many people who were, you know, Methodists and Lutherans. We had the Lutheran Church, which was actually right next to St. Mary's in Delaware, so I knew a lot of friends from there, and we seem to get along pretty well. I mean, so once you find your little group of people that you hang out with, and so there were really no issues with that. So
now, as you were nearing your high school graduation, what did you feel led to do next?
Well, when I was in high school, I started to get involved in theater, and later on in my years. And so I thought that I would try that. And I went to Otterbein College for about a year and a half and majored in theater over there. And I really enjoyed that. It was a good time. I met a lot of good people, some that I still see from time to time. and enjoyed the acting, enjoyed work behind the scenes in the set construction and lighting and those kind of things. But then eventually had come to realize that, I just couldn't see myself starving on the streets of New York. So I decided to leave that and consider other options at that point. So.
And that's when you transferred to OSU?
OSU. Went there and just took some general classes and for two quarters there.
And then your college career got interrupted by a new business venture. Tell us about that.
Yes. Of course, my family, my dad had always been in business with his brothers in Delaware. They had the DeNova Brothers Incorporated, which was a fruit and vegetable wholesale. But in 1980, my dad purchased a little bar and grill over at Indian Lake called the Cranberry Resort. And he had asked me if I would be interested in managing that for him. And I said, okay. So the next thing I know, for 6 years, I was over at Indian Lake managing the business over there for him. And
what was that like?
I've oftentimes told people it was the best of times and it was the worst of times. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of challenges, but there was a lot of good people that I met over there. And I think at that time, especially, my faith began to really get stronger, I think. I had eventually gotten very active in the local church over there, was teaching Sunday school and then also singing in the choir and doing things like that. But the business itself was very hard. It was very time consuming. I literally lived over the store because the apartment I lived in was right above the restaurant, and so it took a lot of hours, a lot of time.
Okay. So, and around that time, you contemplated marriage for a brief time.
I did. I was engaged at that time to a nice young lady who, but evidently it just didn't work out, obviously. So I was, contemplating that. So
still on very much a path of discovery.
Yes.
These business ventures,
yes.
Marriage, or considering marriage. And then, as you said, you're spirituality, your Catholicism was beginning to become a little more fervent than it had.
Yes, especially from an adult perspective, I think I was investing myself more into it than I think I had, even in, as a younger age. I just felt like I was doing more myself. So.
And you'd sell that restaurant, the Cranberry Resort, in 1986. Then what happened?
Then I came back to Delaware and then decided to finish my college degree at the third college of my choice, which was Ohio Dominican College. At that time was ODC. And I finished that in a communications degree.
And what did you do with that degree in the work world?
I worked actually part-time for the Diocese of Columbus in the communications office, of the media services, it was called, and produced videos, promotional video kind of things that we did. Ken Snow was my supervisor, and he still works around down there. But he kind of taught me the ropes of doing that kind of work. And so that's what I did with that degree. I also had worked for the Limited, though, the distribution center out on Morse Road and 270. I worked there for 4 years as well at the same time. So.
Now, all during this time, maybe kind of way back in the back of your mind or deep in your heart, there was something stirring inside. This idea of priesthood was beginning to present itself, maybe for the first time in your life, or?
Yes, and I think it started, really. It kind of took me by surprise because I do specifically remember one priest when I was living over at Indian Lake. He had asked me, if I had ever considered the priesthood, and I just kind of went, I don't know, my facial expression just like, who, me? But he had asked me to consider that, and I said, okay. And so I somewhere ever since then, it just kept, I think that kind of helped me to hear the call a little stronger at that point.
So what was your next step to do with that call?
Okay. Well, I had also, in the meantime, I did, there was a couple of other women that I dated. And so there was still some discerning going on at that point. But then I think while I was working for the diocese and I had approached at that time, Monsignor Steve Hawkins was the vocations director, and he and Father Tim Hayes were getting ready to switch places. And I was downtown anyway, so I walked into his office and just asked them. I said, I think I'd like to discern this call. And so they welcomed me into the, what was at that time called the SPES program, the diocese was running. It was a discernment program. And so just got to start meeting with other people that were going through the similar circumstances that I was. Began to talk and pray a lot more deeply about it.
And help us to understand better what a calling is, and how you would attempt to listen more closely to it. Because there's a lot of ways, obviously, to serve the Lord and the church. As you said earlier, you grew up in this, big Catholic family. Your parents modeled marriage for you. So
yes,
it's very natural that you would consider marriage for yourself, because mm-hmm. they were making it work and look attractive and appealing. Mm-hmm. And, but there are so many ways to serve the Lord and the church. But since the program is all about answering the call, what was the calling like for you, and how did you seek to pursue it?
Well, I guess for me it was just these little nudges that just kept coming into my head or into my mind and into my heart, and questions that I would ask myself, what are my, what talents, what gifts have God given me, and how can I best use those to serve him? And certainly, the talents and the gifts that I have, certainly could be used in married life. In the end, I kept thinking to myself, I'm never going to know for sure. I don't want this nagging me for the rest of my life. So the only way that I was going to be sure is if I did enter the seminary and give it a try and see where God is calling me and see if that works.
And I think that really is the ticket to actually go forth in faith and to try it. We're talking with Father Anthony DeNovo, the pastor of St. Michael's Parish in Worthington. He's our guest today on Answering the Call on St. Gabriel, Catholic Radio AM 820. Now, Father DeNovo, you would enter the seminary. You'd go to the Josephinum. Mm-hmm. A few years in, did your restlessness settle down, or were there still questions?
There were still questions. At the point, I did 2 years of pre-theology at the Josephinum, and then my first year of theology. And then in the second year of theology is when you do your candidacy, which is basically the time that you really are committing yourself to go forward. And there were still I was still wrestling with some things in my life at that point, and I wasn't real sure that I could make that commitment. So I had decided to take a leave of absence from the seminary, which I did. And so I left it was about a 3-year period after that.
And I think it was providential that God would have you for a time stay with Monsignor Cody at St. Francis.
Monsignor Cody at St. Francis, a good friend. And then he got a phone call. He called me into my office as I was looking for a job, and he received a phone call from Jim Silcott, who was the principal at that time at Bishop Hartley High School, and they were looking for a religion teacher, and asked if I would apply, and so I did, and I was hired.
And you probably were a wonderful teacher, a fun teacher.
Well, I enjoyed it. The first year, of course, was very challenging, but overall, I really did enjoy teaching and getting to know the students there. And some again, I still keep in contact with. So,
but deep again in your heart, this wasn't the place for you. Still,
yeah. In the end, it was just something just kept calling me back, and so after 3 years of teaching, I decided to be, here, listen a little stronger to the Lord, and went back, stopped resisting, I guess. And you think about Jonah sometimes.
Yeah. Well, I think we all do that in our lives at some time or another. But you did go back to seminary. You were ordained a priest in 2001.
Mm-hmm.
And you were 42 years old at that point. Was it a little challenging to be a little bit of an older vocation in seminary?
Yes, I think it was. For me, especially, you know, just going back into school and getting into the routine of doing classes and those kind of things, that I thought I had been done with that, but it was, and then also being in a kind of a mix of younger and sometimes even older people that were in the seminary as students, proved to be a little bit challenging, but the Holy Spirit works very hard.
And you're certainly not the oldest vocation we've had. We're seeing a whole bunch of people being called later in life. That's becoming very common. Uh-huh. So let's look at the last 12 years of your priesthood. You started out as parochial vicar at St. Andrew's in Columbus.
Yes.
And then you were sent as pastor to Immaculate Conception out in Canton, Ohio.
Yes.
And then just last year, you took the helm at St. Michael's in Worthington. And so that's kind of a lot of changes for 12 years, because some, you know, as we know, that a pastor, for instance, can stay in one parish for 12 years. How did these three parishes differ, and what was that change like for you?
Well, let's see. Of course, they differ a lot in the sizes of each other, especially, you know, being at St. Andrew and being, which was a wonderful community with the school and a lot of good people and people that I made friends with, and many again that I still am very close to. But going from St. Andrew's and then going to Immaculate Conception in Canton, was quite a different change, because it's a rural community.
Mm-hmm.
And so at first it was just a little bit hard to get my sea legs, I guess, in there. But once I established myself in the community, it grew on me. I was there for 7 years and a lot of wonderful people up there. And I still think and pray for them every day. And when you get to know people, especially in a smaller parish, you really do get to know just about everybody. I remember the last weekend that I was celebrated Mass before I left. I looked out at each Mass that I celebrated, and every face, I knew every name.
Mm-hmm.
I knew their stories. I knew, you know, and that was, it was hard to let go of that and to have to leave that.
I would think that's one of the hardest things about being a priest, is to have to move from parish to parish.
Yes, you do get attached to the people that you're with, and
for the parishioners too. We've seen great ones come and go, and it's hard. I almost don't want to get attached to my priest, because I know they're going to be moving on. So, well, so and that is hard. Let's talk about something that's rewarding about priesthood. What do you love best about being a priest?
I think, well, the sacramental life I love, getting in, because I think it really touches at the heart of the Catholic faith. You know, when we celebrate the Eucharist, when we celebrate the sacraments of confession, doing baptisms, doing the, you know, being at weddings and those kind of wonderful events of life, I think those are, and even, you know, to some degree, at a funeral, you know, it's a time in which you can get together and really feel the presence of God. And so I that's the first and foremost thing I think that I like about the priesthood is celebrating in the sacramental life. And then just getting involved in people's lives other than that too, you know, just if it's just going out to dinner with people and going, you know, meeting their families and you know, it's, there's just so much that I could say. So,
some of my priest guests have talked about the importance of friendship and support with brother priests.
Yes.
Is that important to you as well?
Yes, it is. And that was something especially that I treasured when I was up in Canton, because, you know, when you're the only one in town, you make sure that you do have to reach out to other priests that may be living, you know, miles away from you. But I think it's very, very important to have those kind of bonds and ties together, because then you can share a lot of your experiences and really help to grow in that.
That's right. And, you know, I was thinking about your example when you were growing up and having priests over all the time. Well, you know, a lot of changes have happened in the world, in the church. And how do you stay connected with your parishioners today? You know, are you able to, like you say, go over to their houses and, you know, have dinner once in a while? Or just how do you try to maintain a presence with them?
Well, I do. When people ask if they'd like to come over for dinner, I very rarely say no. I love, I think we all love home cooked meals. But I do, I am open to all of that. Then I think also just being a part of like their, if they're from the school, going to their graduation parties for their their children and or those kind of thing, or wedding receptions and those kind of things, those kind of help. And then just making sure, especially as they come to church, that you know being present at the masses, whether I'm the celebrant or not, I try to greet people as they're coming and going, and I think just being a good presence to them.
Oh, that's wonderful. In our last minute together, Father, what advice would you have for a man who might be listening to this and considering the priesthood for himself?
Don't wait too long. I think, I would say, open your heart to God, because God will never disappoint you. And whether you think you're called to the priesthood, or even if you're discerning a call to married life, or God will never disappoint you. And so I guess that's the first thing that comes to my mind.
And beautiful words.
Yes.
Beautiful words to end our show with. Father Anthony DeNovo, can you please leave us with your blessing?
Sure. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. And may Almighty God bless all of you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thanks for joining us, Father.
Thank you.
And thanks for listening. And we'll see you next week for another edition of Answering the Call. God bless.
If you know a priest, deacon, or religious sister or brother that might be interested in telling St. Gabriel listeners how God inspired him or her to answer the call, please contact us at info@stgabrielradio.com.